Suddenly, every church in Vicksburg was closed to us. The ministry had become wild and infuriated at the losses in membership. Those who had accepted the truth were put through tremendous pressure, but everyone was steadfast. The meetings on the Morning Star grew so quickly that within a month, we had increased our classes to 4. In order to contain them all, I rented a hall in town for $10 a month until a church could be built. As usual, we had no money for buying either land or building materials. Money from the sale of the Gospel Primer, although it was selling at a rate of 15,000 copies a month, was only trickling in. Something was dreadfully wrong. Will Palmer made an emergency trip to Battle Creek to find out what was going on.
Brother, we know that the Primer is selling very well, but we on the Morning Star are receiving only a tiny part of the royalties. Why is that, sir?
Well, Brother Palmer, you must understand that the Review and Herald has expended a great deal of money on promoting the book. Then call porters take a big cut, and of course the cost of paper has gone up tremendously.
I've done a bit of research since I've been in Battle Creek. It seems that another writer has produced a book suspiciously similar to the Primer.
Well,
do you have any knowledge of it?
Yes. The book has been... it's been submitted to us for consideration.
Well, the Primer is about due for another edition. When will it be put on the press?
Well, we don't... Brother Palmer, we've decided that the Review can no longer publish the Gospel Primer.
What? No longer publish?
That is what I said, sir. I may as well tell you, we plan to produce the other book rather than Brother Edson's book.
But why?
It's nothing personal, you understand. We find that we can realize more profit by selling the other book. Business is business, Brother Palmer.
Well, maybe so, brother. Maybe so. The Review has absolutely refused to print the Primer.
What will we do? That book was our primary source of income.
I don't know, Emma. Mother once warned me what would happen to the paper and the publishing house if the men who managed it were not men of piety and faith. It has come to pass. Is there nothing we can do, Will?
Well, they flatly refused to sign a new contract, but there might be a ray of hope.
What is that?
The General Conference has become dissatisfied with the management of the Review and Herald and have recently begun to publish some material independently.
Will they consider publishing the Gospel Primer?
They offered to print an edition of 20,000 copies.
But that is much too small an issue.
And they didn't even want to print that many. But Conference President Olson persuaded the association to take over the contract.
But a run of that size is barely enough to cover the remaining costs of the Morning Star, let alone cover our daily operating expenses. No, Will, I won't sign a contract like that. Never.
But you have to, Edson. Elder Olson and the General Conference have saved you from even greater calamity. If you don't sign, we'll be in even deeper trouble.
All right. I'll sign, but under protest.
No, the General Conference Association will not accept that.
I feel trapped, Emma. What can I do?
Sign the contract as it is, Edson. God will intervene to resolve our troubles.
As the weeks passed, our mission met with greater success than we'd anticipated. But opposition to our work became so intense that we were eventually forced out of the hall that we'd rented in Vicksburg. A church had to be built at once, or we could watch all the good work that we had done unravel before our eyes. Of course, we had no money with which to build a church or buy land on which to put it.
Well, the building is going very well. How did you manage to secure the lumber, Edson?
I made arrangements with a local sawmill to pay for the lumber on an installment plan. Same with the hardware.
Oh, this location on the corner of Walnut and East Streets was a lucky find. And only $2 a month lease. What do you figure the total cost will be?
About $100. And that's not bad for a building 20 by 40 feet. Hey, say, do you recognize that man coming up the street?
No, but I hope it's not more trouble.
Stone's my name. I'm alderman of this here ward.
Happy to meet you, Alderman Stone.
Well, sir, you ain't gonna be so happy when I tell you what I'm here for. You're Reverend White, ain't you?
Yes, I'm Elder White.
I'll get right to the point. You're gonna stop building this here church immediately. I have the authority to make y'all stop.
But why, sir?
I ain't gonna have none of them midnight church meetings with all that loud singing and shouting in my neighborhood. That church is for colored, and I'll fight it as long as I have to.
Construction on the new church stopped. We looked for ways to continue, but the alderman would not be moved. We prayed for the next 10 days. Nothing happened. Finally, Will Palmer went to Mr. Stone and pleaded with him.
Mr. Stone, if you will only consent to letting us finish the church, I assure you that you and your constituents will not be disturbed.
No loud singing and shouting?
None of that, sir. Our people don't do that sort of thing.
Well, all right, Mr. Palmer, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. If you can get the folks who live near the church to sign a paper saying it's all right to build, why, I'll let you go ahead.
For 2 days, Will and I canvassed the neighborhood from house to house. Will would go to the door and I would stand on the sidewalk and pray. We got the signatures and soon we were back to building. I wrote a letter to Secretary Nicola. Dear Secretary Nicola, slowly, very slowly, we are getting our little church built. Paying for it is a different matter. We've raised some money in donations from the Morning Star crew and from the colored people who will attend the church. They are so poor that 50 cents is the average donation. Yet they all want an interest in their church. And right there, I'd like to say that I never saw a firmer body of Seventh-day Adventists than this little colored company here in Vicksburg. The response to the plea for help was wonderful. The leaders and congregations of the church sent more than enough to pay for the building. At the opening ceremonies, with General Conference President O.A. Olson on hand to dedicate our new structure, Will Palmer had some pleasant news for the tiny congregation. He reported that enough money had been raised to paint the building and add batten boards to cover the cracks on the side walls. Besides that, comfortable seating had been added, and a fine pulpit was installed. To shouts of joy, Will informed the congregation that after all these unexpected improvements, there was still $20 left in the treasury. But summer was fast approaching, and we soon found out how dangerous, even deadly, those hot months can be. These mosquitoes are terrible. I swear they're as big as birds.
Ow! There's another bite to add to the ones I already have. They swarm in clouds around the Morning Star. I don't see how we can hold services on deck this week.
Will, you're right. Half the crew is down with malaria, including Emma. Elder Olson advised me to go back to Battle Creek during these hot months and come back in the fall. I think I'll follow his advice, and I urge you and your wife to do the same.
What will you do in Battle Creek?
Mother has given me permission to simplify and edit some of her writings on the life of Christ. I'll call the book Christ Our Savior, and try to get the International Tract Society to publish it.
Elder Tate has always been a friend of our mission. I'm sure he'll be happy to handle the book for you.
In Battle Creek, when the book Christ Our Savior was finally finished, Elder Tate handled its publication and arranged that all the royalties should be paid to me to further our work in the South. The new income would clear up our old debts and finance the next phase of our mission, which would be a trip up the Yazoo River and into the deep South. Emma had spent the summer with her mother in Colorado Springs. She arrived in Battle Creek in August, as eager to get back to work as I. In late fall, we boarded a train for our return to the South. It's good to be back aboard the Morning Star, Brother Halliday. Is the work still going forward?
Well,
are the people who accepted the truth still with us?
Yeah.
What has happened to the people?
Relax, Brother Edson. The work's been going forward in fine fashion. We've kept up the Bible school, church meetings, and the Bible study classes while you were in Battle Creek.
Have many deserted us?
Well, we've lost two, but they weren't all that firm in the first place. And we may even rescue them in time. All the rest of our people have been growing in faith and knowledge.
I am most eager to see all of them again. Brother Halliday had kept things well in hand, and everything was looking good. Little by little, the attendance to our meetings increased. The colored people began to realize the greatness of God by hearing basic truths for the first time. Soon, medical missionary work began to play a large role in our mission. In 1896, Dr. and Mrs. W.H. Kennett joined our small group. News of the doctor's arrival spread like wildfire, and soon he was traveling all over the area visiting the sick.
Whoa! Oh, boy. Hello? Is anybody home?
Yes, sir. Can I help you?
I'm Dr. Kennett from the Steamboat Morning Star. I understand that your wife is sick and needs medical care.
She's sure enough sick, but I can't afford no doctor.
Don't worry about money. You don't need to pay me. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist physician, and I'm here to do God's work and help him heal the sick. May I come in?
Oh, yes, sir. I didn't mean to keep you standing out in the cold. Except it ain't much warmer in the house.
Yes, it is cold in here. Don't you have any fire in the house for your sick wife?
We've fallen on hard times, Doctor. Used to have my own business. A tailor I was. I didn't do bad either. But my business fell off to practically nothing because of the depression the country's in. Things got so bad, I can't even afford the coal for the fireplace.
Well, can't you get fuel on credit?
Credit? No one gives a colored man credit. Especially when he ain't got a job.
Well, let's take a look at your wife and get her on the road to recovery. Then we'll see what we can do to keep your house warm.
Thank you.
After attending the sick woman, Dr. Kennett drove the buggy to his own house, loaded the back full of coal, and delivered it to the colored man. The man built a roaring fire, and soon the house was warm. Within an hour, Kennett's kindness was known all over Vicksburg's Fort Hill area, and suddenly the prejudice began to fade away. The proof of this was soon apparent. On Monday and Wednesday evenings, we held night schools with usually about 25 people attending. Within a few weeks, the little chapel was crowded with over 150 potential students wanting to learn the three R's and the Bible. By the end of March, during a special meeting on board the Morning Star, Fred Halliday spoke on our progress.
Friends, I am glad to report that we have advanced our cause in wonderful fashion these last few months. We have made 289 visits to homes in the Vicksburg area. Medical treatments, 109. Prescriptions for medicine, 66. Office consultations and examinations, 34. Barrels of garments distributed, 14. Dorcas meetings for washing and mending used clothing, 5. Cooking school classes, 4. Bible readings, 117. And sermons preached, 26. And that's only up till the end of March. How's that, my friends?
Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord!
I was becoming anxious to take the Morning Star farther into the interior of the Delta country. But first, a great deal of overhauling would be necessary. I ordered a new engine and boiler to replace the aged ones. With much effort, the Star was lengthened to 105 feet with an entirely new upper deck. The lengthening of the boat allowed space for the new living quarters, plus a chapel and a small print shop. I started a new book entitled The Coming King, which was destined to become another bestseller. By midsummer, the work on the Morning Star was finished and the big paddle wheel was ready to churn the water again.
It's wonderful to have the Morning Star plowing upriver again, Captain Orton.
Aye, it is that, Elder White. She's running as smooth as a gull floating on the wind. For all her bulk, the Star draws only 20 inches of water.
How fast are we going?
With this new engine, we're making 7 miles an hour at just half steam.
Oh, that's marvelous. Not bad for a trial run, is it? Well, there's the bend. Turn her around when we reach the wide part of the river, and we'll head back to Vicksburg.
That summer was the hottest we'd ever experienced in the South. Even the old-timers were wilted by the unmerciful sun. By August, Emma became ill with a fever caused by the heat. I was put down by the same malady a few days later. Emma was so sick that for a while I thought she would surely die.